I've opened a bottle of water up there. If you get that for me, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. I certainly am thankful for the prayer we've already heard this morning and the blessings of the Lord that we've had in the singing of the hymns. Just in your presence, it's been a blessing to see you and have you come in to worship the Lord. That's why we met this morning. The purpose of the church is to honor and glorify the Lord and give Him praise. It's an important activity. I believe it's the activity we'll be engaged in eternity, forever. Praising and honoring and glorifying the Lord. I don't believe heaven's going to be boring at all. I believe it's going to be a wonderful, glorious place for God's children. And here in this world, when the Lord lifts us up like He has this morning, and by His grace allows us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ, it's not boring either in this world. No more important activity you can do than to gather with a portion of the Lord's people for the purpose of praising God, hearing from His Word, learning and growing in grace and knowledge of the truth, and it's all about giving Him the praise and the honor and the glory. All glory, all praise, all honor belongs to the Lord. And as we read His Word together, we'll understand that this book is about giving God the honor and praise and the glory. Every passage in the book points to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it points to Him in a way of adoration and praise. It is speaking of what a great Savior we have, what a powerful Savior we have, what a loving Savior we have, and how that He is worthy of our trust. He's worthy of our depending upon Him, and He's worthy of our praising Him. We shouldn't praise one another in a worshipful way because none of us are worthy of that worship or that praise. We're to be thankful for our brethren. We're to be thankful for what the Lord's given unto them. But no one is deserving to be worshipped but the Lord. He's the only one to be praised today. And He is worthy of that praise. And that's what we've met to do. I'd like to call your attention this morning to the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. It's the writings of the Apostle Paul unto the church at Philippi. And we read about the calling out of that church in the Acts of the Apostles, where the Apostle Paul was there, where prayer was wont to be made with Lydia and the jailer and all that were involved there in that church. And sometimes when we're reading these letters, we forget about what's told about it in Acts, and we don't see the connection there. And yet the Bible is this wonderful book that is connected and comes together as the Lord blesses us to see it. And we see that this called out assembly was a place that the Apostle Paul taught and wrote a letter to them. And that which was written unto them as a church is written unto Happy Creek today as a church and unto all of the Lord's people as part of all scripture that's given by inspiration of God, that's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the children of God, may be perfect. Now, I'm going to read in this fourth chapter, I'm going to read through the ninth verse, this words of encouragement and direction and instruction given by the Apostle Paul. He says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And it seems like one underlying theme in this passage that we've read and you're hearing is the God of peace and having that peace of God given unto us. Peace is a very wonderful thing in this world. You can have all the world's money. If you don't have peace with the Lord, you're an unhappy person. And you can have all that the world might consider be valuable and important. And if you don't have peace from the Lord and in the Lord and peace in your heart, and be able to know about how to walk in that peace, you're just in a miserable state. Now, you can be broke also and still be just as miserable. And you can be rich and be just as miserable. Because whether you're in poverty or whether you're in riches, the peace of the Lord doesn't come by man or the ways of men or the thoughts of men or the ideas of men. There are a lot of men today selling peace, supposedly. They, for a price, will have you come in and they'll sit down and lay out a game plan for your life and tell you if you'll do this and you'll do that and you'll do some other thing, that you'll have your problems pretty much answered and you'll be able to have happiness and joy and peace. They may not talk about it as peace, but they kind of tell you this is a road to being happy. And usually it falls under the gospel of the world, which says gain is godliness. That if you get the riches and the things of this world and you're well physically and you're well mentally and you're well financially and you have all that, that you'll be happy. And that all falls under the idea and thoughts of men, which is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death and the way of destruction. You see, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, outside of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, outside of following and walking in that truth, there is no peace in this world. And somebody say, well, have you been everywhere and seen everything and done everything to know that that's true? Well, I certainly haven't, but I don't really have to, because the Bible will tell us, and isn't that wonderful? We got a book right here that we can go to and be sure that it's going to tell us what is the truth. This is the truth before us. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, if we'll just look there for a minute, because I got a few things I want to point out there about in the book of Romans. There's a few things here that the Bible tells us about man and the nature of man and what he can do and what he cannot do. Sometimes we get the idea, well, that's talking about other people, but the Bible will let us know very quickly, this is talking about me, it's talking about you, it's talking about your mama, it's talking about your daddy, it's talking about your grandparents, it's talking about your children, it's talking about your whole family line, it's talking about Oopsies, talking about Sylvester's, talking about Sutphans, talking about all of us together and all of us separately, all of us individually. It tells us that are based upon ourselves, all of us individually or collectively, do not have the answers. A lot of men think they have the answers and they know the way they think is the answers. All of us can think about, maybe already are there, maybe are there this morning. We think we got the answers. Half the time when I think I got the answers, I don't even completely understand the question and think I have the answers. One thing the Bible tells me is that the answer is not in me, and the answer is not in you, and the answer is not in us, but the Lord is our sufficiency. The Lord is the one we must look to. And if you're going to be happy, if you're going to be peace, if you're going to find joy in this world, it's going to be in following the Lord. It's going to be in using what He's given you. It's going to be walking in His light, walking in His wisdom, walking in His rest, walking in His peace, which He's given to us because He loved us in covenant before the foundation of the world. And He came and died on a cross and reconciled us unto Himself, and gave us the message of reconciliation, which is a message of peace that tells us, and I want to say that to each one of you today, be reconciled unto God, because He's reconciled Himself unto us through the death and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Now, that means our peace is in Him. Well, let's get to this verse, because it tells us our peace isn't in us. In verse 9 of Romans 3, it says this, and I know this is familiar ground for you, but it's good for us to review it and go over it and to get established in it and understand it, because most of the world misses it. They read it, but they don't embrace it. And many of God's children at times, we forget it. It says here, "What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin." What he's saying here, it doesn't matter what your nationality is, doesn't matter which family you were born in, doesn't matter whether you were born nationally as under the nation of Israel or whether you are a Gentile. Most of us, I imagine, I don't know everybody's family line, but I imagine we run a Gentile track. But whatever your bloodline is, it goes all the way back to Adam. And I believe in Adam and Eve, and I believe God made them. And in Adam, we received a polluted bloodline. In Adam, we didn't get okay and have understanding. In Adam, we died. When Adam sinned and transgressed God's law, I know Eve transgressed God's law and Adam did likewise. We were all in Adam, and because of the fall of Adam, we fell into a state of death, separation from God, and the way of peace we no longer know. That's the point. And man trying to figure it out might run this track or that track or every other track, but it's all a crooked track. There's only one path that's straight. There's only one way that's truth. There's only one direction. There's only one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And what we want to talk about is that pathway, because that's a pathway for peace in our lives. It's a pathway He's given us. The Lord has called us to peace. Y'all believe that this morning, don't you? The Lord has called us to be at peace. And if you got peace with God this morning, they can lock you up. They can take everything you got. They can hang you. And as our Savior was crucified on the cross, and many of the apostles suffered great martyrdom, and many of those dear old saints in the past, they can take your life, but they can't do a thing with your soul and with your spirit. They can kill the body, but I'm telling you, they can't keep it dead. Because we have in the Lord, we have one who is our peace. And there's no other peace outside of Him. There's no other way outside of Him. He says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin." That means I'm under sin, you're under sin, all of us here are under sin. Young and old, we're all under sin. He says, "It is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, not a single one." He says, "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood." And this verse 16 and 17 is where I read this kind of to get to. Here is what we know as man. And don't we see this in the world? Destruction and misery are in their way. There's a lot of people that supposed to have a lot of smarts and a lot of intelligence that are laying out a lot of smooth-talking things that supposedly would give you peace. I've run a couple of those tracks in my life. How about you? And rather than finding peace in that pathway, I found misery and destruction. I didn't get any true joy. Oh, I might have had a little fun for a little while in the things of this world, but it didn't. It left a sick taste in my mouth. It didn't bring peace. It didn't bring true contentment. It didn't bring any real joy. It didn't bring me anything of real substance. It didn't fill that void and that emptiness that is in me. And I'm telling you, the Bible says man's way, man's ideas, man's thoughts, all of those things that are contrary to this word, the word of God that He's given to us, is not going to give you contentment and joy and peace. Even though for the moment they may appeal to the flesh, and that's what he deals with. The old adversary deals with the flesh. You get to feeling good for a little bit and thinking you're real good, and you know, you think everything's okay, and then it's going to lead straight to a pathway of destruction and misery. It'll either be in this time world you'll face that destruction and misery, or it'll be eternal destruction and misery. I know this, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be bound for a place of eternal destruction and misery. But God chose a people And he's given us a place better than that, that we can trust in him for, that place that we're looking forward to by the grace of God, that isn't a place of destruction and misery, but I believe heaven is going to be a place of peace. Our loved ones who've gone on to be with the Lord, they're not in those that are in the Lord, that died in the Lord, those that belong to the Lord, that showed evidence they belong to him, that had the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, who had those fruits, showed evidence of life, and they felt life was in them. It's eternal life, and they didn't die and go to misery and destruction. They went to peace. Why? Because there was a Savior who paid a price for them that has prepared a place for them that when they left this world, they went home to a place of peace and rest and joy. But he's also here in this world giving us a pathway of peace. I hope you're finding peace in your life. I hope you're getting up in the morning and finding peace with the Lord. If you're not there, I hope you'll be there. I hope this word will become a part of you and you'll understand God is my peace and he doesn't change. He's my peace this moment. He's going to be my peace as I leave here. Everything in my life is going to change. I'm not going to be the same tomorrow as I am today. I'm going to get older. My body is probably going to hurt a little worse. I'm probably not going to hear as well or see as well, or the food won't taste as good. And as I grow in years, it'll be a declining thing. And if that's all I had to look forward to, I'll tell you what, I'd be a mighty depressed boy today. I know this though, whatever comes, my Jesus will never change. He's the same every day. He's just as merciful today as he was yesterday and will be tomorrow. He has just as much love for you as when he died for you at Calvary. He has not lost one drop of love for you. He'll love you enough to chasten you when you start messing up. You know that, don't you? You start thinking wrong, he's not going to let you get by with that. He'll correct you. He'll take you on a course in your life. You go like, well, what in the world? How did this ever happen? Most of the time it's one of those golden calves you and I have worked real hard to put together. And we wonder, how did this pop up in my life? And the fact of the matter is, a lot of those things we should have never started in the first place. I'm telling you, this book is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, little children. And if we'll take it and we live our lives by it, it's a way of peace. And outside of that way, everything else, I'm telling you, everything else from the Word of God is destruction and misery. That's the ways of man. And then he goes on in verse 17, in case that didn't cover it, he says, and the way of peace have they not known. So when you hear them crying, peace, 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 and it doesn't fit his word, just know this, it's not the right way. It won't lead to peace. It'll lead to destruction and misery. So, the Apostle Paul here is laying out the pathway of peace. He says, therefore, my brethren, and he noticed who he's writing to. He's writing to the brethren. Now, I love that word, brethren. That word, brethren, isn't just, you know, I like having, I'm glad I got a natural brother. He really came in handy yesterday as we went to talk to Dad, and it was good to have somebody right there, and I'm thankful for that. Well, I'm thankful also for my spiritual brethren. I'm thankful for those of God's children that he's allowed me to have fellowship with here in this world. I'm thankful for my sisters too, my brothers and my sisters. The brethren here is talking about your brethren and your sisters. He says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and the brethren are dearly beloved. We read over in John that those who are begotten of God love God, but they're also, you're to love those that are also begotten of the Lord. You not only love the Lord, but you've got to love the Lord's children. And the Lord puts that in our hearts. We don't have to really get that from somewhere else. That's the fruit of the Spirit. If you meet another one of God's children and you're a little child of God, that Spirit that's in you that's of the Lord, and that Spirit that's in that other brother that's of the Lord, listen, the old outside can fight in a minute. Don't tell me it can't. The old outside can rise up. The old man can rise up and you not enjoy that love. But I'm telling you, that spiritual inside that he's put there will give you an attraction and a love for others of God's children. And we find that as a great blessing in this world. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, my brethren, he said to those that he loved, and one of them was that old jailer. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul? That old jailer had whipped him, beaten him, laid those stripes upon him, locked him in a jail, and then the Lord had delivered him from that. You think that'd be kind of hard. You say, I don't know what I can love that brother, but what they've done to me, I don't think any of us would have done to anybody what the jailer really did to the Apostle Paul. But he called him my dearly beloved. And I believe he loved him because he realized he was loved of God. Brother, if you love the Lord today, it's because the Lord first loved you. You're my sister. You're my brother. And I am duty bound to love you. Like we say around here a lot of times, I'm supposed to love you whether I like it or not. I got to love you. That's what the scripture says. I'm to love you as the Lord loved you, unconditionally. And we're to love one another that way. And when we operate in that love, let me tell you, that's a path of peace. The world doesn't know that way. But that is the way of peace in your life. You'll find if you operate in the love of God, you'll operate in forgiveness. If you operate in the love of God, you'll operate in the blessings and benefits of others. You'll find that He will open doors. He does open doors. He will shut doors. You'll understand as you love God first and keep His commandments, you will, as you love the Lord, you will keep His commandments, and you'll find the blessings of the Lord in obedience. Now, I want you to understand that God doesn't give us blessings because we are obedient in a reward way. We have those blessings when we walk in the obedience. You got them already. If you can be obedient to the Lord today, you already got the blessings. You know, when I used to, it's like a little girl that, bless her little heart, she came out here and we were just shoveling just a little bit of snow in front of the church, and here she comes down the road with her shovel. You know, she's just 10 years old, looks like she's about 8, and she comes in with her shovel. I'm shoveling a little bit, and she comes in with her shovel and starts shoveling. And she says, I'll help you for $2. I said, well, go ahead and help me. She said, well, maybe 5. I said, well, okay, go ahead and help me. And when she was done, and she worked hard. I'm telling you, she was a little girl, but she worked hard. She shoveled. And when she got done, she said, I gave her $10. Oh, buddy, I mean, she was happy. And well, the snow came the next day, and we came out here, and I started snowing again. Guess who came down the street? At that shovel, boy, I mean, she was running out of the house. Brought that shovel down the street. And I went on and let her shovel. She never made a deal at all. Never made any deal at all. She shoveled away, and she got to the end. She said, where's my reward? I said, I gave you $10 yesterday. She says, oh, I know, but I just thought, you know. So I let her in, get her some candy out of the bowl. I didn't have another $10. But I thought, you know, and I'm thinking about that. Sometimes you and I are serving the Lord in the sense of His service. We come to a meeting and we go like, almost like, well, Lord, where's my reward? And He's given us, how good has He been to you? I want you to know He died for you at Calvary and saved you from hell. And then in your life, He has blessed you and has been with you and has watched over you and has kept you, and continues to do that day in and day out. And sometimes you and I are just bold enough to go like, where's my reward? Every time I've been able to sing a song of praise to Him, it's been a blessing. That's been a blessing in doing it. Every time that I've ever visited one in a hospital, you ever go, you get more out of it than you ever put in it. You feel like I'm going to give a little bit and you can't give it away. You tried to give the Lord, I'm telling you, it comes back. It doesn't always come back monetarily. I'm not talking today about these ideas you hear on the television that if you'll sow $10, He'll give you $100. That is about the reward system. And that's about gain is godliness. I'm telling you, when you give, when the Lord impresses you in your heart and you give of your money or of your time or of your effort or studying God, have you ever spent time studying God's Word that you weren't blessed in doing it? Sometimes I'm studying and I can't get everything I want. You know, or most of the time I'm studying and I can't, because I want to, you know, when I'm reading a passage, I want to know it all. I just want to get all of it. And sometimes I can get bold enough to think I got all of it until He shows me something that allows me to see I haven't even started scratching the surface yet. But all of those, I've wasted a lot of time in my life, but I have not wasted 1 minute praising and honoring the Lord. That's been my joy in this world. Church isn't a place I have to come because I have to come. Church is a place I come to help me get through all the rest of the mess that I got to do in this world. It's the ground I get taught. It's a place I get encouragement. It's a place I get instruction. It's a place where I get fellowship. It's a place I feel His presence near and dear to me that helps me when I go out in this world, and I'm able to, because I hear the name of Jesus and I'm able to feed on it, I can take that with me. And in this world, when I'm faced with a trouble or a problem and I'm about to tell somebody off because my old nature is to do that. Listen, I'm a brawler by nature. He hadn't called us to brawl. Brawlers are not happy. They got busted up knuckles. Even if they win the fight, they don't come out the winner. You know, I've seen some men that said, I won the fight. Well, it didn't look like a winner because all bruised up, bumps all over their head, but they won. That's me. Lord said, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those, really, who don't have to have the last word. Blessed are those who are walking in humility and moderation, which is meekness and mildness and standing, not moderate in the sense of not holding to the truth, but holding to the truth in a godly way. So that I'm honoring the Lord. I'm honoring in my home and in my family and on my job. I'm taking Him with me. And it has brought peace in my life. Has it brought peace to you? And I ask you now, what plan has worked? You know, that's the thing I always see in the Old Testament. Men go grab another god as if God wasn't good enough, and they grab that god. And most of the time it's a god from the land they're living in that got conquered by the power of God. And they pick up the god of the people of that land after that god has already let their people down. I'm telling you, we got one God. There is no other God. And that God is the Lord God Jehovah. God the Father, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling, when we're watching and looking and leaning upon Him, that's the pathway of peace. Young, old, wherever you are in your life. You build your life on that foundation. And as sure as the storms are going to come, your house, hear me, your house will stand. And everything else that's been built on the sinking, shifting sands of this world. You know one thing about the ways of men you can always count on? They'll be different tomorrow than they were today. Anybody in education knows that. Boy, they got a plan every week. It comes up. This is going to be it. We'll have this plan that'll do it. Before you can get it in place, they'd have changed the plan. Plans change. God, and I'm sure that's in other fields, but I know it's in education because every time I turn around, I'm on another game plan. It's like my game plan. And some of that is okay because until we're perfect and have a perfect plan, we need to adjust it, right? We got to adjust it. I'm telling you, when God's plan doesn't need adjustment. Isn't it wonderful to have a book that don't need it? You have an instruction manual that won't ever need to be revised or improved. It has no errors in it. And the only thing you and I have to do is pray to God to have give us guidance and wisdom and courage that we would stand and walk boldly. And brother, pray that we preach humbly, that we preach the truth, and that we preach it in meekness, but we'd also preach it in boldness. And that is not contradictory terms. Listen, God's little children, you're to walk boldly in this world. You don't compromise the truth. You don't moderate. You don't stand in error and go like, well, I'll take a little error with my, you know, I can handle that. I'm telling you, not all religions are the same. And not all gods are God. There is only one God. And somebody say, well, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something. I'm telling you, it matters what you believe. It does matter who you're looking to today. There is no God other than the God of heaven. And there is no power that can give you peace and rest and joy in your life. But in walking in His way, every other way, it's kind of like there's one straight path and every other way is crooked. And somebody said, well, how do you know which way is crooked? Well, if it's not straight, it's crooked. And it doesn't matter whether it crooks this way or crooks that way. It's still crooked, right? It's still crooked. There's only one real thing. And I'm telling you, Jesus Christ and His truth is the pathway of peace for God's little children. He says, my beloved and longed for. In other words, He wanted to be with the brethren. He wanted to gather where they gathered. He wanted to be where they were. We want everybody of God's children. We'd love to see that. I'd love to see the house full today, wouldn't you? Or the Lord's people that, but I want those who want to be here. The ones that I want them. Let me say it better. I hope I can pray that I say it better. Every little child of grace would benefit from the gospel. Everyone born of the Spirit would benefit from hearing the gospel. Every one of God's little children need the gospel in order to guide them and direct them. They need the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Need to know about what He did for them at Calvary. Need to know about the power He gives them to live their life in a way to honor and glorify to God. Know what to avoid in this world and what to walk in. They need it. They need it. And the inner man, they long for it. What happens though, the old world gets in sometimes and we get sidetracked, don't we? We got a longing to go. You ever get up and say, well, I know I need to go to church and I want to go to church, but boy, this old bed feels really good. That's a long ways to drive all the way from Roanoke. Goodness sakes, got to go all the way up the road. And I'm tired and I'm weary. And I think
you don't have to be in Roanoke for that to happen. You can live on 429 Duck Street and that can happen.
That's where I live, by the way. That old bed feels mighty good in the morning. There are some times when with me, it's maybe not so much coming to the house of God that I have my battle as it is taking time in my study and in my prayer life and in my time of separation with the Lord to be prepared in a biblical way. As a minister of the gospel, I'm not talking about preparing sermons, but I'm talking about studying the Word of God like I'm supposed to and called to do it. And sometimes I can just say, well, you know, I don't really have time to do that today. I'll just let that go. Now, I want to tell you about old Gary. I'm not going to miss a meal. If it's time to eat, I'm going to either eat where they got food or I'm going to go somewhere to find a place where they got some food. I'm going, and you say, well, you know, I could miss something. It would be beneficial to me. But my nature is I'm hungry enough that when it's time to eat, I'm going to be looking for some place to eat. I'm going to eat. But there are times I can spiritually miss meals. And every time we miss that opportunity either to hear the gospel preached or where we forget to read and study or where we get to feed on God's word, do we understand that the old spiritual man is suffering as a result of that because he's missing meals? If you miss enough of them, you'll fall away. And next thing you know, you won't even realize that I'm needing it so much. Until you come back and somebody lays it on you. And I hope in a loving way. We need to feed on His Word because life gets to be a burden without His direction and instruction. I need it. I really need it more than just Sunday. If I just wait and get it on Sunday, boy, you're a mess on Monday, aren't you? I got to remember, listen, if I don't take what I got on Sunday and take it with me on Monday, I'm in trouble. It doesn't take long for me to get in trouble. It's taking how... He died for us on the cross, not only to give us life eternal, but to teach us how to live here in this world. I'm not getting to this text, but I hope I am. I hope it's beneficial to you. If it is just simply for us to commit better to following what He tells us in His Word. He says, you are my joy and crown. Now, that means, you know, that your joy and your crown, that'd be important to you, isn't it? Apostle Paul, the brethren at Philippi, was his joy and his crown. Now, get this. He didn't make them. The Lord made them. He didn't bring them up. The Lord brought them up. The joy and the crown that he's talking about here came to him by his grace. It wasn't anything Paul would say, you're my crown, in the sense, boy, look what I've done. No, he realized these people were given to me by the Lord.
I look at this little church here at Happy Creek, and I think, boy, the Lord has just blessed us. Blessed us to have the fellowship. I see the communion I can have with my family and the Lord, and I think, the Lord's given me that. The Lord's allowed me to have that. And of all the things in my life, you know, that I consider valuable, this is my joy and my crown. Not my crown in the sense I glory in myself. If there's any glory, what do we do with those crowns? We cast them at Jesus' feet. Because he's the one who's given us everything good. You got some good things in your life? You give the Lord the praise for those things. He said, my dearly beloved. And then he says, and I'm not going to be able to get there. He says, I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And we got two little sisters here feuding. Oh, that never happens, does it? Two little sisters feuding. Now, whether they're feuding between themselves or whether they're feuding with the church or whatever's going on, they weren't of the same mind. We ever find God's people here in this world not getting of the same mind? You ever find it in your family where everybody's not of the same mind? You got one mind and wants this and one mind and wants that. You said, do we ever? Is there any time we don't? We all have trouble with that, don't we? We have all kinds of minded. This isn't just talking about minded about natural things, though, I don't believe. I believe these are on spiritual doctrinal things. Because if you read the third chapter, there was a whole lot of teachers that had come in. And by the way, the Apostle Paul, who said to be moderate, wasn't moderate with those teachers. He had some names for them, some choice names. Read the second verse of the third chapter. He said, beware of dogs. He wasn't talking about bark. He wasn't talking about four-legged dogs that'll bite you. I'm bewaring of them too. But beware of dogs. They are those who come to deceive and to confuse God's little children. Those who intentionally are there for that purpose. He says, beware of those that are bringing false doctrine is what he's saying. And obviously what had happened is a couple of these little sisters had fallen away to some extent. And he said, you entreat them. He said, I beseech. First he beseeched them. He says that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now notice, it doesn't just not just to agree. You know, sometimes everybody can agree and do the wrong thing. We're to agree by being in the Lord. And you want to find real agreement. And I'm going to have to close because if we don't, we'll be here a long, long time. But what can happen, though, is when you have dissension and you have differences of thought and differences of opinion, and you have that in your home, and especially if you have it in your church, this book is where we go to get the answers for us all being of the same mind. And it isn't about me getting my way or you getting your way. It's about us lining up on what God says in His Word. And that is the way of peace. Remember, whether it's my way or your way, it's a pathway of destruction and misery unless it's His way. And so it isn't about getting God to agree with our way. It's about finding out what the way is from Him and then walking therein. And then he said, I've not gotten to nearly where I wanted to this morning, but for me to try to do that would take a lot longer, and you've been very, very patient. I appreciate your kind attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.